star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on. O beautiful star of hope, of rest, for the redeemed, the good and blessed, yonder in glory when the crown is won. For Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on. Oh, beautiful star. To the land of perfect day, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright.
Thank you, singers. Would y'all like your music? Would y'all like your music back, Brother? Has it? There we go. If not, I'm going to go home and I'm going to have a fire after church tonight in the fireplace. Make good kindling. Just kidding. Y'all loosen up a little bit. It's Christmas time, all right? Y'all a little bit too uptight. Too much shopping. Too much money spent. That's what I thought. Reason some of you can't even hardly move, you squeak because you think, man, I've spent so much money, and I'm just, you're so uptight. That's all right, it'll be over in 2 days. And you'll get the bills in January. Hope that you have enjoyed today. I always enjoy being around the people of God and spending time with the people of God on Sunday, fellowshipping. You know, church, I hope that you don't ever take for granted your opportunity to come to church. You see, what we don't realize is some of the people that you see this Sunday may not be with us next Sunday. You never know what's going to happen in the period of a very short space of time. You know, our church may have, I've been a member here 28 years. This past year, 2012, I'll just be honest with you, I'm looking forward to rolling the calendar over to a new year, because it may have been one of the most difficult years for our church, health-wise, loss of folks in our church. Good saints of God went on to be with the Lord, and I understand, church. God's got perfect timing, and God knows what He's doing and how He's orchestrating things. But it still does not negate the fact that we miss those that have been promoted to glory, and this year out of our church. And I got to thinking about that this week, and I hope that what I want to say to you tonight will encourage you and be a blessing, because I don't know what's going to happen in 2013. But I tell you, our church really had a tough time in 2012 with all of these different areas. And I want you to take your Bible with me tonight and join me in 1 Thessalonians 5 and Ephesians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and Ephesians chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I've chosen for our subject matter tonight, church, along the line of our theme for this entire year, and that's character under construction. I've chosen for the message tonight the title, A Testimony of Thankfulness. A Testimony of Thankfulness. I think most of you understand, and we'll get to this a little bit later. I don't want to jump the gun on this, but you know what? Thankfulness, you have to think about it. Because, you know, it doesn't naturally come to you, humanly speaking. A lot of times we have to think about it. It has to be planned. So I want us to examine some things tonight from Scripture. Let's stand together. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 18. I'm going to have you circle the very first phrase where Paul says, in everything. Now I want you to notice the little word in, because that's going to play a very important part. That little word in means during the course of. He says, in, during the course of everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, if you know anything about the book of 1 Thessalonians, you'll know that the Apostle Paul is now about to sign off, and he's given some last-minute instructions to believers about what they ought to do and what they ought to practice in order to display genuine Christianity. Now, I'm going to say something here that I've said many times, and you need to listen. There's no question in my mind that there are many, many believers around the world, but there's not many Christians. Amen. Preacher, I'll just amen myself. Because Christianity exemplifies the life of Christ. And if we're going to portray the life of Christ and someone calls us a Christian, that's a compliment. Because obviously they see some details in your life that reminds them of the Lord God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, now believers, in everything, during the process of whatever God's orchestrating in your life, he said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 5, because here we find right in the instructions that Paul is giving about the instructions of the items that make up a Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-led believer Christian. And here in the middle, if you'll remember in verse number 19, he talks about there speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And he's talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. But I want you to notice here in verse number 20, giving thanks always. Now it sounds almost like the exact same instructions that he just gave the church at Thessalonica, right? Because he told them in everything, during the process of how God is orchestrating your life, in those things, you're to be thankful. But wait a minute, that's not what he told the Ephesian church. Look what he said here. He said, giving thanks always for all things. Totally different. You see, he told the church at Thessalonica to be thankful in everything, during the process of, but listen, here the church at Ephesus, he says, giving thanks always for all things. In other words, noting that whatever comes your way, there is value to it. Noting that whatever you do and whatever God is doing in your life, there will be satisfactory compensation involved as he orchestrates in your life. Totally different than giving thanks in everything than giving thanks for all things. You see, he says, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I chose these verses tonight, and I want to preach to you tonight, church, on a testimony of thankfulness. Father, meet with us the few moments that we have. Would you teach us, Holy Ghost of God, we pray from the Bible, and then we look forward to your blessings, and we look forward to your direction in our life tonight. Holy Spirit, we yield ourselves that you might teach us tonight. Help us to be what we need to be as a thankful Christian. And we'll give all the glory and we'll give all the praise to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, oftentimes we have heard people say, or we've heard it preached, that we are supposed to be thankful in everything, but not for everything. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, the thing about it is the Scripture says I'm not to be thankful just in everything. I'm to be thankful for all things. I'm not to be just thankful during the process. I'm to be thankful because of the process. because of what's happening. And he says we're to be thankful in our life that displays Christianity. Listen, the greatest example of this was our own Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, all through the process of life, even the cross, if you'll remember as he pleaded with the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, that this cup pass from me, but then he says, but nevertheless, thy will be done. You see, he said, Lord, I understand everything that I have to do and I'm going to follow through. You see, listen to me now, in everything we've heard, but not for everything. And yet the Scripture says we're to give thanks not only in everything, but for all things. You see, we've heard it put that you may not be thankful for what happens, but you can be thankful in what happens because you know God's doing something in your life. I've heard it said many times. I've heard it said among the brethren, the preacher brethren. Hey, as long as you just be thankful because God's doing something in your life. Hey, listen, folks. It's great that God's doing something in your life, but listen, He wants to do something for your life. Why? He's trying to conform you to the image of His Son so that you can display sincere, genuine Christianity according to the book, not according to your doctrine. We need to be conformed, and God is the one that's going to have to bring us to that point. You see, it's one thing to give thanks in everything during the process. Because, you see, what we can do here, folks, is we can give thanks in what happens, but I'm here to tell you that it's totally different to give thanks to God for what happens. In other words, to embrace what He's brought into your life. Many times as a preacher, I often hear people say, preacher, I just don't understand why things are happening. And they come and they say, preacher, can you tell me why this is happening in my life? I must say, I don't know why things are happening in some people's lives. I don't know. Now listen, I can point out some things that are brought on by sin, but there's just some things I don't understand. I don't know why people go through some of the circumstances and situations here, but I know this, the book says we're to be giving thanks in everything and for all things. For everything. Embrace it. Love it. Accept it that God's doing something to work things out for His good and or for your good and His glory. Because, you see, to give thanks for all things includes bad things, problems, and all of life's heartaches. And a lot of people don't like to give thanks for those types of things. And you say, well, why not, preacher? Because, listen, folks, most of God's people don't even give God thanks for the good things. So why would they give God thanks for the bad things? You see, most of the time we don't even give God the glory He deserves and thankful for His goodness in our life. We think the only time God deserves our praise, the only time God deserves our thanksgiving is when He blesses us or when He does good for us. And all of those things are wonderful. But folks, listen to me. If the conforming process is going to take place, there's going to have to be more than just good happening in our life. He's going to have to apply some pressure from time to time. You see, we love giving God thanks for when the good things happen. We love giving God thanks for His blessings. Often we'll pray, Father, thank You for the blessings in our life. Or we'll pray, Father, thank You for the benefits that come my way from being a child of God. Many times we'll thank God for His mercy and grace on us each day. Or maybe we'll thank Him for His favor for being born in America. Or if you weren't born in America, for now coming and becoming a citizen in America. And we'll thank God for all of those things. But listen to me, church. To be thankful in everything means that whatever I face in life, I can be thankful in spite of them. But to be thankful for all things, that means that everything and whatever I face in life, I am to welcome it, I am to embrace it, whether it is good or bad. Now, in order to do this, we're going to have to embrace most all believers' favorite verse, Romans 8:28. Right? Because if you're going to believe what I'm telling you tonight, you're going to have to embrace Romans 8:28. And we know. Who's we? That's us, believers. We ought to know, right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called or who are the called according to His purpose. Think about that just for a minute. He didn't say some things. He didn't say 50% of the things. He said all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And you know what our purpose was or is as a child of God? The purpose is to be conformed to the image of His Son. I had somebody tell me one time, so what do you think, preacher? What are we supposed to do? Become little Jesuses? Running around and preaching and doing... I said, well, no, I wouldn't quite go that far, but we are supposed to be little Christians going around telling the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, our church has faced some difficult times. Some have given God thanks in everything, but not for everything. And some have given God thanks not only in everything, but for all things. They've embraced it, and they've learned. They said, Lord, I may not understand it, but I'm going to accept it. Let me tell you who those people are. Those are the people you see running around the church that are happy. Those are the people that you see running around the church and say, and people go, oh, bless your heart. Oh, man, don't bless my heart. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, He's still sitting on the throne and He still understands everything. And listen, He's looking at everything from a perfect vantage point. You see, godly character perfects thanksgiving. You see, it's hard to thank God in the valley, isn't it? But listen, but it's the right thing to do. You see, it's hard to thank God for bad help, but it's the right thing to do. It's hard to thank God for trials that are caused by evil people who have evil intent to hurt you. But listen to me, it's the right thing to do. You see, it's hard to thank God for a financial setback or a financial crisis. Listen to me, but it's the right thing to do. But not many people, listen, a lot of people say, oh, preacher, I'll give thanks in everything. But that's not what I'm concerned about. What I'm asking is, are you giving thanks for everything? Are you embracing what comes your way? Are you accepting it? Listen, God wants us to give thanks during the process, but He wants us to give thanks for the process that we're going through and what He's trying to do in our life. My wife bakes a mean pecan pie. Well, I can't wait. 2 days, I've got it. I'm counting down. T-minus. Now, folks, listen, I understand. I need to be eating pecan pie about like I need to jump off a cliff somewhere. I understand that. Okay? But don't worry about it. I'm a full gospel preacher. Okay? But my wife makes a mean pecan pie. But you know, I when I see her preparing that and she sets all the ingredients out on the counter, you know, there's a thing of sugar and there's Karo syrup and I guess that's flour, baking powder, whatever that is that's there. And she's got all these ingredients and butter and stuff. And I'm looking at all that, and I think, I am going to eat me a piece of pecan pie. And I go over and I take that stick of butter and I eat that thing. I think, boy, that was good pecan pie, wasn't it, Brother Biedroski? No, that's not pecan pie. I say, well, I don't care for that. So I take that Karo syrup and I pop the top on that thing. And I take a couple of hits off that Karo syrup, and boy, I'm telling you, I'm feeling good now, brother. Now listen to me. Folks, I don't go and eat all the individual items that make up the pecan pie. I'm not really concerned necessarily about all the individual items. What I'm concerned is when she mixes them and works them all together. And then once she mixes them and works them all together and puts it in the oven, you know what comes out? Glory to God, a pecan pie. Then I like it. Then I eat it. And I enjoy it. Now listen, I don't enjoy the ingredients that make it up separately though. Follow me here? You see, the thing about it is we enjoy all the blessings of God. The thing about it is, folks, there's a process to get to those. There's a way that you must travel to get there. And God says, listen, I'm going to have to add a little Cairo syrup. I'm going to have to add a little sugar, a little butter, a little flour, and I'm going to have to do this, and then I'm going to have to put you in the oven and let you bake a little while. Listen, we don't like that process, but we sure like the product, don't we? Yeah, brother. Give me that pecan pie. I don't necessarily care for the ingredients separately, but I like the finished product. You see, what we have to understand is, listen, when my wife bakes that pecan pie, Miss Martha, and she brings that thing, I say, oh, honey, thank you. Thank you. But you know, she's never come to me and said, well, did you get to try that Cairo syrup? Did you get to try flour? Did you get to try the salt? Did you get to try all these? And I said, well, listen, why would I want to do that? I'm waiting for the finished product. You see, I'm not concerned necessarily about all the ingredients. I'm just glad that God works things together in my life because He has a pecan pie in mind. That's what He's got. That's what He's got for your life. You know what? He's got a finished product. You're not going to like all the ingredients that come with it, but listen to me. God says, I want you to give me thanks in the process and for the process that we go through. You see, all of God's ingredients together make a godly life that's pleasing to Him. And by the way, that's what we're supposed to be. Remember that God sees the big picture. He knows what His design is for your life and what He wants you to be. You see, church, if I'll accept the fact that all the ingredients that God puts in our lives, whether they be good or bad, are shaping me and conforming me to His perfect will. If I'll accept that, here's what I can do then. Then I can give God thanks in everything during the process, and I can give God thanks for all things and embrace the process and realize there is satisfactory compensation from it. You see, a lot of the things that some of you folks and some of our people have gone through this year, right now we may not be able to see the compensation, but it's coming. You'll be able to see that God's working all things together for good. And boy, I'm telling you, that pecan pie is good. That's good stuff. You see, man was not created by God for the present time. We were not created for the present time of earthly and temporal enjoyment, church. Man was created by God for eternity, not temporal things. So here's what makes sense to me. Then God's intentions then have always been for man to walk with Him for all eternity. That was his plan, for the original plan to begin with, was for us to spend eternity with Him. Now think about this. If this was all I was created for, and you were created for, was strictly for this time, then you know what? Then we might have something to complain about the circumstances. But if this is not what we were created for, and we were created for eternity, follow me now, that means all of my circumstances are shaping me for eternity. Then I can be thankful for God and to God in everything and for everything. Many of you have heard the story told before. I'll tell it again about the little boy that was sitting one day, and he noticed his mother was over here sitting in a chair, and she was doing some embroidery work, and he'd see her run the needle in and run the needle out and run the... So he went over there and sat at mama's feet. And he sat there as he watched, and he noticed as she run the needle down and brought it back up, just threads and things. And if you've ever seen that, you can't really discern exactly what's going on underneath the embroidery. And as he's looking there, and he just thinks, man, there's just thread. It's all out of order. I don't understand. And he tells his mom, he says, Mama, he says, what are you doing? She said, oh, son, I'm embroidering. I'm making a beautiful flower. He said, a beautiful flower? It looks like it's just a bunch of twine that's all just intermingled and twisted together. It doesn't look like a flower, Mama, down here. She said, son, hang on just a minute, and you'll get to see it. And so he sat there a few more minutes and she was just about done. And then she said, son, come up here and sit in Mama's lap. The little boy stepped up and got up and climbed up in Mama's lap. And as he sat in his mother's lap and he looked at that embroidery that Mama had done, you know what it looked like from her side? A beautiful flower. You see, from his side, it looked like a bunch of just mangled twine and hanging yarn and things that had no shape to it whatsoever. But the thing about it is he was looking at it from an earthly vantage point. You see, one of these days, we're going to be able to sit up in the Father's lap. We're going to be able to sit up with the Father and we'll be able to see everything from His vantage point. And you know what? The whole time He was doing with your life, He was trying to make you into a beautiful flower. He was trying to conform you to the image of the Son to make you something that would bring Him honor and glory for all eternity. Not just for temporal things. And may I say to you tonight, dear people, that some of you tonight, 2012, you've looked up at 2012, you say, man, it just looks like a bunch of mangled twine. Just looks like a bunch of yarn hanging down and I can't make anything. 2012 was a waste of my time. But listen now, the book's not finished yet. The embroidery's not done yet. Mama hadn't finished stitching the flower yet. But when he does, or when she does, you know what? She's going to say, son, come up here and sit in my lap. And boy, when you do, you're going to say, oh, okay, that's what you were doing when you did that. Oh, that's what you're doing when I went through that trial. Oh, that's what you were doing when you said that. Oh, that's what you were doing when this person did this and that. Oh, I see now. But you will not see that until you sit up and see it from God's vantage point. You see, there were a lot of Bible characters in Scripture that didn't know exactly what God was doing. They kind of were looking at things from the bottom of the embroidery, like Joseph. You know, Joseph didn't have the privilege of seeing the whole story like you and I do. It just didn't make any sense, does it? Here's a guy that was righteous and living for God, and he went through everything you can imagine. He was betrayed and let down and lied about by almost everybody he came in contact with. It just didn't make any sense. Listen to me. And he was doing right. Doing right. But you know what? And from Joseph looking at his life, he was probably looking at it not understanding exactly what God was doing. Oh, but he knew one day when the chariots came rolling in, when there was a great famine, and he looked out there and he saw his brothers. Listen, you know what the conclusion of that story is? Joseph said, you know, guys, because when he revealed himself, you know what they thought? Uh-oh, we've had it now. But listen to me. Here's what he said. He said, what you meant for my hurt, God meant for my good. He said, my own brothers tried to kill me. My own brothers mistreated me. My own brothers did it. He said, but you tried to do everything you could do to hurt me, but God turned it in for my good. Now look at old Joseph now. He said, God put me here, listen now, to save life. You see, he understood once he saw it from the heavenly perspective. He may not have understood it when he was down in that well looking up. He may not have stood it when he spent 2 years in prison. And listen, some of you right now may not understand what's going on. But listen to me, one day you're going to be able to sit on the knee and be able to see it from his vantage point. And you're going to see that he's been trying to develop a beautiful flower with your life. I don't think Job understood everything, do you? Job didn't understand why his family was taken. He lost 10 kids. His wife said, curse God and die. And his body was covered with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And then the men that were supposed to be his friends, they just came and stared at him for a week. Do you ever think about things like I do about the Bible? I'm thinking, okay, they came and they just sat there and did they eat? Did they go to McDonald's? Did they send for a carry out? What did they do? But listen to me. Friends like that, you don't need any enemies. But you know, old Job never cursed God, never turned his back on God. He said, there's a couple of times he wavered. You ever done that? You ever wavered when you were in a crisis moment in your life? You said, man, I just don't know if I can go back to church. I just don't know if I can keep going. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Well, let me tell you something. Job was a human being just like you and I are. You see, he didn't know what was going on. They didn't know. Joseph didn't know. Hey, listen, do you think when Paul was going through all the afflictions that he recorded for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, do you think that he understood everything that he was going through? Hey, listen, he went into Berea and he took what little word of God that he had and he preached Christ crucified, buried, and rose again. You know what he got for it? Stoned. Now, let me ask you this, Brother Ray. You think for a second that Paul thought, wait a minute, I'm doing right. I'm preaching Jesus. What's wrong with you people? You're going to do what? We're going to stone you, partner. Well, I'm just preaching. I'm just a little old Baptist preacher. What's wrong? Don't y'all love me? Now listen, here's what we want. We want everybody to love us, right? We want everybody, when we go out and share the gospel, we want people to love us and put their hand around her and pat us on the back and tell us how wonderful we are. Listen to me, my friend. I can't find any place in the Scripture where they did that to Jesus. They never patted Him on the back. They never said, boy, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. And why would we expect that? You see, we're to be thankful, not just in everything, but for everything, the Scripture says. Now, how could these men possibly have been thankful, not only in what happened to them, but for what happened to them? Let me give you three things to think about and we're done. All right? Let's go to the first one. Take your Bible, go if you would, Psalm chapter 136. Turn there if you would. Give you some food for thought tonight. Psalm 136. Verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth. How long? Not bad, right? That means it's unending. That means I can tap into it at any point. Now listen to me. If we're going to be and develop a thankful heart, if we're going to develop a thankful spirit, then number one, we're going to have to be thankful by choice. We're going to have to be thankful by choice. The psalmist said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I said earlier in the message, and I think it's important to repeat again tonight, that thankfulness, listen to me, requires thankfulness. Do you hear me? Thankfulness requires thankfulness. We have to think in order to be thankful. Most of the time people do stuff for us. God does stuff for us. We just say, okay, great, man. Glory to God. What a blessing it is. When's the last time you thought about thankfulness? See, we have to do it. Thankfulness, we should do it by choice. It requires us to think about it on purpose. Remember reading the life story of Fanny Crosby. It's worth the read if you've never read it before. Blind. Most people have said, well, she'll never amount to a hill of beans. She'll never amount to anything. And yet, some of the greatest hymns that we have in our song, but were written by Fanny Crosby, a blind woman. And in her testimony, she said, I thank God every day for my blind eyes, because if I had not been blind, I could not have seen what God gave me to write as far as the songs that she wrote. Hundreds and hundreds of songs that she wrote because she was blind. God had given her sight within her spirit. He just didn't give her sight with her physical eyes. She was able to see more as a blind person than most seeing people can see with their human eyes. She thanked God for it. I read the story not too long ago of Matthew Henry, the great preacher and the great orator. He recorded in his memoirs and I guess a diary. I guess most guys don't keep diaries anymore, do you? You don't keep a diary? Okay, Only Brother Austin keeps a diary. God bless him. Matter of fact, he's probably got a hope chest too, so if y'all want to help him fill that hope chest, he's probably got one of them also. I got a slightly used coffee maker you can have if you'd like that. But I read about Matthew Henry and how he recorded in his memoirs about how he was accosted and jumped by thieves one night. And here's what he wrote in his memoirs. He wrote, "Dear God, thank you." He said, "Thank you first for letting me be," or he said, "First, let me be thankful because I was never robbed before. This is my first time." He said, "Second, Lord, I'm thankful because although they took my money, they did not take my life." He says, "Thirdly, Lord, I'm thankful because although they took my all, it wasn't much." And then he said, "Lord, I'm thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who was the robber." Now let me tell you, I think Matthew Henry got locked in, don't you? I think Matthew Henry understood that, listen, we're to be thankful not just in everything and during the process, but we're to be thankful for everything and for the process and embrace it, understand there's compensation coming from it. He learned from that experience. You see, a thankful heart is the heart of a spirit-filled man or woman. They can give thanks to God not only in everything, but for everything. Listen, if we're going to develop a thankful testimony, number one, we're going to have to be thankful by choice. The second thing that I believe will help us tonight is this. Not only must we be thankful by choice, number two, we need to be thankful by faith. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. You'll recognize it when you get there. Most of you could stand and quote it tonight. But for those that are new to the Bible and new to our church, look at it if you would. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now listen, if I had most people in this congregation tonight, if I went around with a microphone and said, "Listen, do you want to be a spirit-filled Christian?" "Oh yes, preacher." "Wonderful." And I went person to person, almost without exception, everybody in this room would say, "Yes, preacher, I want to be a spirit-filled Christian. I want to be a spirit-filled believer." I'm here to tell you, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." That's what you want, right? You want to be a spirit-filled Christian? "But it's the evidence of things not seen." God says, "Wonderful. Now let's get with the product here. Let's get going here." And the next thing you know, he said, "Wait a minute, I feel like I'm going around." He said, "Yeah, you're on the potter's wheel." "Man, I feel, what's going on here? I didn't know it was going to be like this. I didn't know that you meant this. I didn't know I was going to pay this. I didn't know it was going to cost me this." He said, "Well, I thought you said you wanted to be a spirit-filled Christian." "Well, I did, but I didn't know it was going to be like this." He said, "Well, you can get off anytime you want. If you don't want, just jump off. You can get off." You see, what we don't realize, church, is that we need to be thankful by faith, because verse number 6 goes on to say, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." I don't know about you, but that word "impossible" kind of jumps out and hits me right in the forehead. That means that whatever faith is, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, if I'm not participating in it, then I'm not pleasing God. Uh-oh. That means if I'm not being thankful in everything and for all things, I'm not pleasing God. Because He's trying to conform me to the image of His Son, and I'm bucking the system. You see, I'm commanded, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, the Scripture says, "Walk by faith and not by sight." You see, the reason God does things in your life and He doesn't tell you they're coming, because if He told most of them to come, we'd run from them. We'd hide. Or you know what? What we'd do today, we'd go on our computer and we'd Google it, figure out how we can get around it. One of these days, you ought to Google God. God says, sorry, no way around this one, partner. Oh, sure there is. There's got to be some way. No, only one way. Oh, okay. Well, I think I changed my mind. I don't think I want to be a Spirit-filled Christian after all. He said, that's fine. I'm not going to force you to. You see, you can always tell the Spirit-filled people because they're the ones that give thanks in and for all the time. You see, we're to be thankful by faith. Hey, we're to be thankful in the happy times. Now, that's the easy thing, right? That's the easy time to give thanks to God and thanks to people. Man, we're just thanking everybody, hugging everybody. Man, why? Because we're thankful. Man, things are going good. We give thanks in the happy times. Oh, boy, we enjoy our time of happiness. Listen, we acknowledge how undeserving that we are, but God, out of His grace, He's just been so good. We're to be thankful by faith in the happy times. Let me tell you something, folks. I wish I could stand here and tell you that all of life was going to be happy times. But they're not all going to be happy times. There's going to be some rough waters that are going to come your way. And if you're going to serve God, there's going to be some rough waters. And you're going to ride the rapids sometimes. And it's going to get a little scary. You know why? Because you're going to have water coming in. I remember the first time that my wife and I ever went whitewater rafting. Now the thing about it is they call it rafting. But my wife and I had never been before. And they said, now you can either take a raft or you can take a canoe. And I thought, that raft, that's for sissies. Give us a canoe. So my wife and I went down and put in just below on the Guadalupe River. Just below whatever the dam is down there. I can't think of what the lake is down there. But anyway, we put in just below the dam and boy, down the Guadalupe River we went. Man, hey, I got this. I mean, a raft, forget that. Canoe, yeah, Daniel Boone. Dave, boy, we thought we was going to town. Now, I didn't realize I'm paddling here. I'm in the back, you know. I'm kind of the guy guiding everything, except I was also guiding and doing all the paddling. My wife's, boy, isn't this beautiful? This is beautiful. This is so beautiful. And I'm back there. Listen, I've got cramps in my arms. This is so wonderful. Isn't this, honey? Is this beautiful? Yes, it's beautiful. Come on, guys, help me out. I need an amen right there. You know what I'm talking about. That's beautiful. But we're going down the Guadalupe River, having never canoed before. And so we managed a couple of rapids, and we came to something that was, I guess they call it a waterfalls. Now, they call it something springs. If you've ever been down the Guadalupe, they call it something springs, but it was actually about a 4-foot waterfalls that you dropped off of. So anyway, the river starts funneling. It's real wide, and it starts funneling down narrow, and we can hear and there was a couple that was with us. This was in the time that my wife and I had the singles department. There was a couple that was about from here to that back wall, and they're going, ah! And we saw them disappear. So I'm telling my wife, we've got to get to the shore. They just disappeared. Now listen, if you know anything about rivers, you don't want to get sideways in a canoe. So I'm trying to paddle to shore, and I got that canoe sideways. And the water said, no, not today. And we went, my wife's like, honey, we're going to... And I mean, over that falls, we went sideways in that canoe. Now, at the bottom of these waterfalls, they have these undercurrents. And so my wife and I go over. She goes down, I go down, all I'm hearing is, I'm underwater. She's underwater. And while I'm underwater, I just keep going, And I think, man, I feel like I'm in a washing machine. I just kept going over and over and over and rolling underneath the water. And I think, man alive. And you know, when you're trying to feel around, trying to find out, where is the surface? So finally I came up. I'm looking around. Where's my wife? Well, finally, she comes up. Now listen. It's okay to confess. My wife, I said, honey, you okay? Yeah, I am. And I'm looking and my canoe is upside down with my paddles. I'm thinking, that's $500. Man, I go and get that canoe, get those paddles. I think, man, I ain't got $500 to be paying for this thing. Now, what I'm saying to you is we need to be thankful in everything and for everything. And boy, were we ever thankful for it. Because you know what we learned? We learned that we don't need to be in a canoe on whitewater rapids. Be thankful in happiness. Number two, be thankful in handicaps. And what I mean by handicaps, I mean in whatever situation you are faced with in life. Can I tell you how many people say, preacher, it's just not fair. Well, let me say something. If those of you that are members of our church heard me say this many times, I'm here to tell you, God's not into fairness. He's into just. He's into being just. The thing about it is, listen, God has a will and a way for everyone. Listen, Joseph was able to give thanks in his handicap, in his situation. Listen, you ever thought about it? He was separated from his family as a young teenager? Separated from his daddy, separated from his family. Hey, Daniel had a handicap. He was in captivity, and you know what? The decree went forth. You will not pray to anybody except the God of the king. And the Bible says David went as he had done before. Opened up the windows and prayed. And they said, we got him. We got him now. They threw him into that den of lions. They said, I'll take care of that Baptist preacher. Tired of hearing him preach anyway. Next morning, the king went, rolled the stone away. Daniel, has your God delivered you? He said, yes, sure has. He said, that's what I thought. Pull him up out of there. Now listen, can you imagine the guys that had him thrown in there, what they're thinking about right now? This is not good. Daddy, what's going to happen to us? Daddy made a huge mistake. Because they took everything, family and all, down in there, put the top back on there. And you know what? Those lions had a tasty treat. The thing about it is we don't like that. But let me tell you something. The difference between Daniel and those men, Daniel understood what it was to be thankful in the process and for the process. Be thankful in handicaps. And then it may say, be thankful in hardships. Take your Bible, go to Philippians 1 if you would. Got just a couple more minutes. I'm going to give you one last thing to think about. I'll give you a few verses to take home with you. Be thankful in hardships. I want you to look at what it says in Philippians 1:29. The Apostle Paul speaking again. I think he knew something about hardships, don't you? Philippians 1:29, here's what he says. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. He said, look, there's got to be balance here. Not just believing, not just serving. He said there's going to have to be some suffering that goes along with it. We need to be thankful in our hardships. You know, in Job, in his hardship, in chapter 5 and verse number 7, the Scripture says, in Job chapter 1, verse number 22, it says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Acts chapter 5, remember the apostles? They were arrested. Acts 5, verses 40, 41, and 42. They were cast into prison. Remember Gamaliel's counsel? He said, listen, you better let these guys go, man. He said, if what they're preaching is of God, are we going to be found to fight against God? He said, but if it's not, hey, it'll play out. It'll come out to naught. So they listened to Gamaliel's counsel, but they couldn't listen to it all the way because the Bible says they beat them before they let them go. And you know the amazing thing? The Bible says they went away rejoicing. They went away counting it all joy and a privilege to have suffered for His sake. You know what these apostles finally got a hold of? They got a hold of this thankfulness thing in the process and for the process. Paul and Silas, remember them in Acts 16? Arrested, cast into the inner prison. If you know nothing about the Bible or not familiar with the Bible, you go read Acts chapter 16, you'll find there that two men, two preachers of the gospel, arrested, cast into prison, into the inner prison. They couldn't sleep that night, though. So about midnight, Paul looked at Silas, and Silas, I'm sure, looked at Paul, and he said, "Hey, remember that song we used to sing while all things were going really good for us? Remember when people were being saved and we were preaching and all these things, and revivals were happening, churches, remember all those songs? Hey, why can't we sing it now?" And they, the Bible says, not only did they pray, they sang in the prison. And the Scripture says all of the prisoners in the inner part of the prison heard them. You know what Paul and Silas got a hold of? Paul and Silas got a hold of a testimony of thankfulness, not in the process, but for the process. Well, let me give you one more, and that's this. I said we're to be thankful by choice, by faith, and then number three, we're to be thankful by nature. Now listen to me, you say, what are you talking about there? Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Remember this? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Let me finish this up. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become what? Didn't say some things. It said all things. So you know what he said? He said your ability and your direction for your thankfulness, all things become new. You and I ought to give thanks because we have a new nature now. The Holy Spirit of God now lives us. Listen, we shouldn't have to be provoked. We should give God thanks in everything and for everything. Why? Because now we're a new creature. We have a new nature. He has given us the Holy Spirit of God, and the fruit of the Spirit tends itself to thanksgiving and to be thankful to God. You see, it's the nature of a sincere Christian believer. So think about it tonight. If you were in Matthew Henry's spot, could you have written what he wrote? He said, yeah, they may have taken everything, or they may have taken all my money, but I thank you, Lord, that they didn't take my life. You see, church, we've had a tough year, haven't we? It's been tough on a lot of people in our church, physically, health-wise, deaths in our church. Many of you have been touched by that this year. Let me tell you something. God says, in everything, give thanks. Not just during the process, but then he came back and told the Ephesians, he said, now give thanks for all things. Because there is not just during the process to give thanks, but he said give thanks because of the process. Because there's compensation. Because God is conforming us to the image of his Son. You're like that little boy looking up at the bottom of that embroidery. He can't make out what's going on. He doesn't understand the images. But one of these days, you're going to get on Daddy's knee and you'll be able to see it all from his vantage point. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say here tonight that, preacher,